Thank you, Carla, for that prayer. Now we are going to begin with our youth speakers this morning. We're going to start off with Miss Erin Watley, 04. Did I say it right? Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. And then following Erin, we're going to have Anika Beatty Mills, and then we will have Teddy Howard. Sorry. We call him Teddy, but you know who he is. Theodore Howard, the official, bringing up the rear. And we just ask that you be in prayer for our youth speakers this morning. We know that God has something special for each one of us. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning. This is the first time I've been here the whole pandemic. So it's such a blessing to be here and see your faces and seeing people in 3D. I'm getting used to it again. So thank you. And it's a pleasure to have you guys. And thank you for asking me to say some words for Youth Sunday. And at this point, youth is maybe a little bit of a stretch. But I'm so happy to be here. Grace White gave me a prompt, and really the prompt was just to share the difference that Jesus has made in my life or is making in my life. And so I just have a few thoughts and reflections that I will share with you guys. I have been given the feedback that sometimes I can be very cerebral, and that sometimes I talk in the abstract. And so I'm just praying that the words that I have to share with you guys come across with clarity and directness, and that they reach you and touch you in the way that God has directed. So again, thank you. So the difference that God has been making in my life is the most succinct way that I can describe it right now is that God and Jesus grounds me in a way that is supernatural, a way that I could not otherwise explain or rationalize, even though I'm a rational person. I teach, I'm a professor, and a lot of the way that Christ grounds me is oftentimes in contradiction even to the work that I do as a professor. I live in the halls of academia, for whatever that means, but really it's because as a professor, my profession is to disrupt, and my profession is to disturb a lot of the things that people think are stable. I teach about culture, I teach about identity, and I teach about those things in a way that calls into question what people think might be absolutely true. You know, I talk about things like race as just being made up, right? But it means a lot to us in the world. I teach about things like gender, you know, and we reinforce gender ideals in a lot of ways that are kind of arbitrary, all right? And in that being my profession, it's a blessing that I've never lost the foundation of Christ in my life. I've been a Christian for a long time, and I always thought it was a little bit weird. When Grace asked me to do this, I thought that I don't really have a good testimony because I grew up in the church. I've been a Christian probably since I was about 6 years old. And from 6 years old, it's always been true to me. It's always been center. It's always been true. And when I'm in classrooms and halls and people questioning things and the ways that the world works and all the complexities of the ways that the world works, I've said, yes, there are lots of things that we don't know. And there are lots of things that we've made up and that we reinforce. But Christ is still there holding me. Christ is still there affirming that he is real and the center. And he speaks to me and my heart in ways that nobody else could speak to. And that is the thing that keeps drawing me back to, yeah, this is true. He is real in my life, and he's a living God, right? He works outside of the ways that I might assume that he works, or even that other people tell me that he can work. And I say, he's working differently for me. He's showing up differently for me. I'm seeing God in my classroom, right? I'm seeing God in the music that students are introducing me to. I'm seeing it in the discussions that people are having about doubts that they have. And I say, Christ is in that. Christ is in that. He's encouraging me to keep walking my path in the ways and the places that I am, because it's still true to me. So people can come to me and they can talk about their doubts in religion, or their doubts in the way that the world is working, or their doubts in political and economic systems or things like that. And I say, yeah, that's true. And then it doesn't shake me to the point where I have no stable force in the world. I have nothing to bring me back, that I feel like I'm lost in the world of uncertainty and relativity and all the arbitrary things that the world can bring. God is always calling me back in gentle, consistent, surprising ways. I shouldn't be surprised by this point anymore, right? If I say I've been walking with God for over 30 years, and I shouldn't be surprised, but it's always surprising, that nudge. It's like, yeah, we don't know about all these other things here. Look at all the things that man has messed up and the world has led astray, but I've still got you. I've still got you. I'm still speaking to you, and look at how I'm ministering in your life specifically for you, even in ways that others might not expect. And so God is just grounding for me. I'm an anxious person by nature. I'm always wondering. I'm always a little bit unsettled. But with that, I'm not. And that is a gift, because that's not a gift that everybody has. That's not a gift that everybody has experienced in their life. And so I think to tell that story, that I've been held in that way, even though I am the person I am and I do the work that I do, that he keeps me close and he keeps me home in the way that is just for me. And so I am blessed by that. And, you know, I had a few verses, you know, that continually ground me. But then the one verse, you know, that I will just share today as a mention in this conversation is Romans 8:28. And Romans 8:28 says that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And that's always a reminder for me, because when you say all things, it's like, all things? Even when I'm not sure, all things, even when I'm in these spaces where it doesn't really seem like I fit or that God fits, all things, you're still working for good. For good, not just working, but for good in all of those things. And that's a continual reminder for me, wherever I am and however it is that I'm feeling, however uncertain the world might look around me, or I'm disrupting things and shaking them up, that those things are still working for the good of all who love him. And that's God still at work, and that's God continually at work and present in my life, in my relationships. As I move through the world, I have to hold on to that as my certainty, because I have so many other things in my world that are continuously uncertain. And so those are the words I have for you. I said I won't take too long. I won't be a professor. I won't just talk and talk. So I have the end there. And so thank you for allowing me to share those words with you. It's a blessing again to be here. I love you guys. All right. And thank you. Anika to the stage.
Good morning, Valley Brook. Wow, there's like people in here. That's kind of cool, right? First, I'd just like to go ahead and ask Grace to never put me behind a professor ever again. Thank you so much. That was fantastic. Just going to say, he lives, amen. So when Miss Grace, which I will always call her Miss Grace, she always kind of gives me the side eye, like, you're going to call me old. No, just Miss Grace. asked me to come and speak, I thought, I talk a lot, so people probably are tired of hearing me first. That was my first thought. My second thought was testimony. Man, I gotta sit and think about that. And then, because I'm a human, my mind went into, do you really have to think about that? Don't you know that Jesus loves you? Didn't you have some trials and tribulations? And then my other mind said, well, not that bad. They're not that bad, right? So my talk to you today is about not judging your experience based upon what's happening to other people. Because oftentimes we think because it's not as bad of what as whatever story you may have heard, that you don't have the right to feel the way that you feel about your own. And I think that that's important because God came for all of us, and all of our journeys are important to him, no matter what they look like. And he gave you what you needed, not necessarily what someone else needed. And so the verse that I found, because she asked if you have a favorite verse, and I was like, oh, that's because I'm supposed to know all the verses in the Bible. I don't. So let me find one. Was Proverbs 22:6, which is, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I, too, was brought up in the church. My father was a reverend in Des Moines, Iowa, and so we were at church every Sunday in the front row, getting whatever side eye he was giving us because we were talking and doing things we weren't supposed to be doing. And so we were always in church, but we were kids. So we were just in church, right? You came because your parents made you come. You were quiet as much as you could be. And then when you turned to be a teenager at our church, you go sit in the balcony. Yeah, so the balcony is where you sit and you pretend to be listening because your mom can look up at you at the corner. And so you go like this while you're still talking to your friend. And so I was not necessarily what I would say religious in that way, right, where you would be super attentive at I'm always amazed at 12 or 15. My daughter is amazing. She picks up stuff that I would never have picked up at the age of 12 in church. So I'm like, I don't know where she came from because that's not me. But in that, we were always there, and God was always a part of our house because God was always a part of his house. And so when he passed when I was 8, and it was a tragedy, it wasn't, you know, something that we expected. It was a complete tragedy. He just didn't come home one day. I was mad at God. I was so mad. Here is your servant. Here is someone in the community doing everything that he should be doing. And you took him from me. And he was my best friend. My best friend. And so I just thought I would share a couple stories about that relationship and how it brought me here. My mom told me this story because I'm too young to remember, but I guess when I was 5, he and I would go everywhere together. He didn't have a boy, so I watched football. Yes, I'm a Cowboys fan. I have no choice. He had no one to watch with him, so she gave him the baby and said, go down there. So we were always together. And so when he would go to the Y, he was a judo instructor. And so he's a very active exercise person, which I recognize now I got very honestly. But one time he took me down to the Y and he lost me. And I was probably 5 or 4, somewhere in there. And so I can just imagine now, I don't remember this moment, but I can just imagine as a parent now what it would be like to be downtown at the Y and not be able to find your baby girl. Then I also recognized this poor man had to tell someone that he could not find his baby girl. And not only did he have to tell someone, I'm sure he elicited like 10 people first before he had to call my mom and tell her that he lost their first child, baby girl. And so from her recollection, she flew down to the Y and would not talk to him, of course. She's not talking to him anymore. And they searched and searched and searched and found me in the woman's locker room, sitting on a counter, talking to a random lady, getting dressed from her workout. And it was, of course, rejoiceful because you found me. And then, of course, it was so me that I'm talking to a random lady in the Y. I don't know this lady, but we're obviously having a conversation. And I was safe. That was the Lord, right? That was him protecting me, because that story, there are others that have that same story and not the same outcome. And they stayed married. So, like, all of these blessings, right? He lost a baby girl. And then after he passed, I was mad at God. I was lost. And as a freshman in high school, and I know I've told these stories before, but they are the ones that stick with me. I was walking across the street. Freshmen couldn't leave campus per se for lunch. So there was a little like gas station they let you go to, but come back. And so my friends and I were at lunch walking across the street, and it's a busy, it'd be kind of like walking across Broken Land Parkway going towards 29, like if you were crossing that area. And so, of course, what was I doing? I was talking, walking and talking to my friend. And in the back, I could hear something, but I couldn't understand what it was. And then I kept hearing it, and then I heard it was my name. And someone kept saying, Nikki, Nikki. And I turned and looked, and there were cars coming. And they weren't coming like they weren't getting on the highway. They were coming like they was getting on the highway. And so instead of, I was only a few feet from getting across the street. Instead of doing that, I about faced and started heading back to the other side. Well, I didn't make it in time, and so I was hit full force by this car. And I can still remember, now this is a freshman in high school, so it was only like 15 years ago. I know Rasan's 19, move on. I can still remember hearing the wind. As I got hit, I went up into the air and landed on my back. So I can hear the wind right now, what that sounded like, but I couldn't see anything. And so I woke up to one of my best friends pounding on my chest, trying to get me to wake up, because of course it was traumatizing for them. And they called, of course, an ambulance came. The driver was just distraught. And when he came, I was, you know, I'm a freshman. So he was like, looks like your leg is broken. And I said, oh no. He's like, I got to cut your pant leg. And I said, what? He said, I got to cut the pants. I was like, you know, I don't want you to cut my pants out here in front of all these people. He said, we just have to make sure that your leg isn't broken. So they got me into the ambulance. They checked to see if my leg wasn't broken, went to the hospital. And to this day, I have a bruise here, but my leg wasn't broken. I had no fractures. I had nothing. I had a couple of scrapes and bruises. And that was it. And I was very much into sports at the time. And so we had tryouts for basketball in about 6 weeks from that time. And so the doctor was like, I don't know if you're going to play. I said, oh, no, we're going to play. And I did. And I started varsity and played all 4 years. But again, there he was. And I didn't even know it. I didn't even think about it. But I remember the wind. And that was such a interesting detail for me to remember, because in my mind, I see that as being carried, right? Not being thrown, that someone was carrying me so that when I did land, it wasn't going to be catastrophic. It wasn't going to be something that was going to take me out of here. It was actually something that was just going to, A, wake me up, and B, give me peace that I'm okay. How often is it that we need that wind? And that we don't acknowledge the wind in our lives, where something is carrying you, even while it's horrible, even while it feels a hot mess, you are being carried. And so that was just something that I think God gave me. And I feel like the bruise, I used to want to get rid of it because I still have it. But now, because what happens when you get old is you start being like, yeah, I earned that. that's where I am, because it just reminds me of that one moment that I could have not been here, because again, that's someone else's story that didn't turn out to be the same. And so I know that that was God carrying me and blessing me. And then my final story, and I told my husband I was going to talk about him, but it was going to be all good things. As I was on my journey back to the Lord, and not that I ever left him, I knew he was always there, but we had a moment. And so I just want to say first, for those of you that have had a moment, it's okay. Like, God knew you were going to have the moment. He was with you in the moment, and he was carrying you and doing things in that moment when you were like, I don't know if we're talking today. And he said, that's okay, I'm going to talk to you. Like, isn't that wonderful to have that, where someone is just willing to continue to be with you when you are just through, when you've had that moment where, you know what, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I go to church every Sunday. I do all the things. I'm not doing this anymore. And God says, that's okay, I'm still here, no matter what it is you're doing, no matter where it is you go. And so as we were looking for our church home when we moved here, Christopher had found, I don't know how we found Valley Brook, to be honest, which is funny because, I mean, my uncle's a pastor, so I should have known that. but we came and visited, and I was very much like, well, you know, we need to check other churches. We need to make sure that we're not just going there because Uncle Danny's there. He's nice. We love him. But let's just keep making sure we find the right place for us. And so my husband was very adamant that we found a church home. I had recently began attending church regularly, so I was kind of going through two different churches before we met. And he was very adamant about us finding a place that was going to be something that we could be involved in, not just attend on Sunday, but to really be able to be involved in other things. And so I was very blessed by that, because you need someone sometimes to be like, come on. This is the way we should go. And while we were dating, there was a moment where we had an argument. And we both were like, what are we doing? This don't make no sense. Let's let it ride. You're a nice guy. I'm a nice girl. See you later. And that was me anyway. And as I was leaving, he grabbed my hand and he started asking God for direction on what we should do. You know what, Lord, that's not fair. That's not fair. And of course, he meant it, and it was real, and I knew it was real, and that was scary, having been someplace else before in a relationship and have someone see you and understand your fear. So he was very adamant about finding a place, and I just have to continue to give him credit for keeping God in our home and in our lives, making it a part of what we do when we're worried about something, when we can't understand what's happening. The first thing he says is we're supposed to pray about everything and worry about nothing. And so I just wanted to say thank you, God, for bringing again another person into my life that is here to continue to further my relationship with you. Not just for me, but for my family and for people to be able to see what you are doing in my life. And last but not least, my children on their very, very own, two of my three children decided to get baptized on their own. So each time they were baptized around nine or 10, Malia was a little younger, they asked if they could be baptized. And so we said, are you sure that's what you want? Because, like, it's not going just to the pool. Like, we're not swimming. You know, I want you to understand. But they understood wholeheartedly what it was they were doing. And I am so grateful, because now it is our opportunity to train them up in the way they should go, so that when and if they ever do part, they come back. And it wasn't because we forced them to do something. God put it on their heart to get baptized and to be in relationship with him. And so I will just end with saying that regardless of whatever your story looks like, stop judging it. Your story belongs to you, and the things that God has given you is for you to be able to grow in him. It's not about judgment on whether your story is bad enough or good enough, because we'll all come into whatever our trials and tribulations are. But because you are now in relationship with him, because I am now in relationship with him and was in relationship with him before I knew him, I am always going to be comforted. I am always going to be safe. And I am always going to be able to return and talk to him and be in relation. So that's all I have. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see a lot of faces I haven't seen in a long time. I want to first start out with a verse this morning that'll be coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and verses 12 through 17. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ to a new life, sharing in his resurrection from the dead, keep seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. For you died to this world, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, as God's own chosen people who are holy, set apart, sanctified for his purpose, and well beloved by God himself, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, which has the power to endure whatever injustice or unpleasantness comes, with good temper, bearing graciously with one another and willingly forgiving each other if one has a cause for complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so should you forgive. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourselves in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for another. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. And be thankful to God always. Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, and in dependence on him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If you don't mind, I'd like to just say a quick prayer before I get into my story. Let every head bow. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again that you allowed us to lay down and you didn't forget to wake us up. Lord God, thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. I thank you for everyone who has gathered here today. Thank you, Lord God, that even in the midst of a pandemic, that you are still God. Amen. Thank you that you are still with us. And thank you for the hedge of protection that you have given us, Lord God, day in and day out, wherever we may go. I thank you for giving me the strength, Lord God, to be able to stand here and give a testimony based on what you have done for me in my life, Lord God. I thank you for the upbringing that I've had. I thank you for staying close no matter where I've gone or no matter how far astray I've gone. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your humility. I thank you for your reconciliation. I thank you for just being who you are to me, Lord God, so that I may be able to tell others about what you have done and who you have been in my life. I thank you right now, Lord God, for those who weren't able to be here. I ask that you would continue to cover everyone's family and strengthen everyone. I thank you just being who you are and giving me the strength, Lord God, to be able to stand here, even though I'm a little anxious, but I know that it's you who has given me the strength, Lord God, to be able to stand here, and I thank you just for laying your hands on me, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I have to tell you guys, when Miss Grace initially asked me to come and give my testimony, it took me a little while to think about it. Not that long, but I could tell that when I gave her my response, she was overly thrilled, and I was too. But as I was on my way here this morning, I realized that I'm in the midst of a faith building time with myself. And then the topic being the difference Jesus has made in my life. Ever since I was, I want to say, 4 or 5, church has been a very big part of my life and my upbringing, not just church, but God. Picking back off of what Miss Anita said, even when I was yay high, even if I didn't know that he was with me, he was. And in being in a musically inclined family and a church, coming from a church background, I knew that I would never be able to stray far, no matter what it is or what I've done or what may have come into my life. So, and then my grandparents being ministers, having that background, I feel as though just kind of rooted me to where it is that I'm, even in where I am now and to where I'm going. There have been a certain number of events that have transpired in my life that have made me want to draw closer into getting to know my Heavenly Father, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that it was Him, it is Him, that I've been able to make it this far and be able to stand on my own two feet and be able to tell you guys that He's never left me. I've lost family members through this pandemic, through everything that's been going on. As I've said, I've gone through personal things. I recently just, for those of you who don't know, I just recently had a baby girl. And even though I'm not exactly proud of my circumstances and things of that nature, I know that God has given it to me and placed it in my life so that I could grow closer to Him, because it's so easy to take the short route And I also found that out this morning, too, that God has placed me on a long route, because if I'd have took the shorter route, I probably would have just messed it up and did whatever. And I'm so glad to know that I have a Heavenly Father who doesn't believe in just doing things willy-nilly. He's a God of order, and it's going to happen when He says it's going to happen, regardless of what we think or what we feel. And, regardless of what the situation looks like, I've learned that I have to keep my trust in God, regardless of how scary it looks, how scary it may feel. I can personally tell you that I've been at work, and I've gone through some things that have made me feel like, okay, I just need to walk away from this. I just need to, like Miss Anita said, having those moments where it's like, okay, God, I don't even know if, I know I can talk to you, but right now I'm not really feeling that. But I'm so glad to know that, we have somebody that, regardless of how we feel, He's never turned His back on us, and He never will. And there's comfort that I find in that. That's unspeakable at times, because it just puts a smile on your face. And sometimes when people ask me, well, how do you know it's Him? I said, sometimes when you can't say nothing, that's how you know. just speaking from my own experience, that's just so, but my childhood, and then being raised by a God-fearing mother and grandmother, and not having a male role model in my life, that has helped me tremendously as well, even from being young to being in school, and even now to being a young man. So I thank God for that as well, because He knew that, my mother may not have known, but she was raising a God-fearing boys. So, like I said, regardless of how far we've gone astray, and I know we've all fallen short of the glory of God, but something inside making me want to draw closer to that and relying on that without having to worry about what I go through on a day-to-day basis and not letting life drive me crazy. So I just find comfort, in that. And again, going back to my childhood, it makes me really proud to say that not only I have a home church, but I have a home church here. And wherever God has placed me, He's never let me go too far away from church. So, and even in that sense, I know that it's Him that's been keeping me close, regardless of the circumstances. So, I'm just thankful for that. And my grandmother will be 81 this year, and I feel so blessed. Like, as I've said, from losing my grandfather who recently passed, and a host of other family members as well, I can just see God's works. And the more I see Him working, the more I've learned to just fall back and just watch. And it's just a feeling that's indescribable. As I was on my way here, I was a little nervous as to, what I was going to say. And I told my mother, I said, I don't know if I should write something down, if I should just speak from the heart. But that's what I prefer to do, because that's what I'm used to. I always just, speak from the heart. But I say sometimes it might come out better, because Pastor Dan always comes up here and he's got everything written down, and he's able to, touch base, with everybody and still be able to make it seem as though he's not reading it. So I'm like, I don't know, maybe I can do that. But when I got up this morning, first thing I did before I got my clothes out and started the process, getting things together and stuff, I took the time out to get on my knees and I prayed this morning. Even before I started to cook breakfast for my children, I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. Thank you for giving me the strength to get up early and get my mind prepared to go in here, because I don't want to just come in here and just say anything and just walk out. because that's not me. I don't know. I feel a part of me could probably stand up here and give maybe a sermon, but I don't want to. I'm just so thankful. I really can't. I'm trying to put it into words, but I know that I've only made it to this point because God has kept me. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of when my faith has went astray and has gotten weak, I know it is Him that has strengthened me and got me to this point. I haven't done everything right, but right or wrong, I've learned to just be humble because I know that God has His hand on me, and I know in His time He will make things right because He knows where my heart is. So therefore, I don't have to worry about explaining it to this person, this that person, trying to make people understand what I'm going through, because at the end of the day, it's about me and Him. And as long as I'm, you know, in my prayers and I'm including everything, and that's another thing, I had to learn to just stop praying to God for this and that as if, you know, He was a wishing well, and start praying for things that line up in accordance with His will for me in my life. I was blessed to have a mentor who came, I met through my job, and I said, wow. I said, you thought about me enough to send me somebody to help me along my journey, because I'm not going to try and quote the scripture, but I remember reading something that says, young men go astray. I forget which verse it is, but it says young men have habit of going astray a lot. And I just thought, I said, wow, Lord, you thought enough of me to send somebody to, you know, send me Bible verses on a daily. Even when I can't find the time to open up my Bible on my own time, I have a verse or verses to read every day, whether I'm at work, in business, or at home. I can take the time out to have time with you to read this in my own spare time. So it's little things like that, you know, that make me think like, wow, okay, I know I'm not doing this alone. Amen. And I've learned that the enemy is considered what we call a legalist, which means that he's only allowed to do what God allows him to do. So I've learned to take consideration over my thoughts, my words, and what is it? My thoughts, my words. Say that again. That too, but I'm trying to remember what it was. So knowing that, it's made me come a lot more aware. I've learned as being Christians in progress, we have to be aware, constantly be aware, because the enemy is always busy, and his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. But he can only hear what we say and not what we think. So that in itself has made me even more consciously aware, because I don't want the enemy to wreak havoc in my life just because he says, oh, I heard him say this, so can I go and do this? No, no, you can't, no. So, I just want to say that above everything, I'm grateful to even be here, to be able to stand here and tell you. A lot of you guys have known me since me and my family first came to Valley Brook. So I know for you, some of you guys that see me here, it's like, wow. I know Pastor's looking at me like, yeah. But it's such an indescribable feeling. Not just, you know, to be able to come up here and say, I gave a testimony. No, because this is really what has happened in my life. And to be able to just tell you guys about it, it's like, wow, you know. And that in itself gives me encouragement, you know, to be able to continue, you know. And I just know that I want to continue to strengthen my knowledge, my love in God, and trusting in Him and knowing that He's got my back, regardless of whatever it may be, and that He knows where my heart is. And as long as I know that, have nothing to fear, because if God is for me, no one can be against me. I wish I could go back to my childhood all day. I mean, coming up in church and playing music and having a family that's, you know, having grandparents that were just, you know, God-fearing, and that's exact. That's just what it was. You know, being baptized by my grandfather at a young age. I still talk about that to this day. You know how much that meant to me. And when he passed, we were overseas, and we weren't able to make the funeral and things like that. And you know how much it had an effect on me, just because I was walking around telling everybody, yeah, my grandfather baptized me. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Do I have? Okay. Well, I'm not going to take up too much more of the time. I just wanted to come up here and personally tell you guys that God is alive and is working in my life. And I pray that he will continue to work in you guys as well. So, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's give our speakers another hand. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you all so much for sharing your journey with Christ, and I am greatly encouraged. Amen. So we're going to stand for our benedictions.